Australian Muslim groups have condemned the use of slaves, calling it barbaric and completely out of line with Islam. Michael Edwards has this report.
Mohamed El Omar and Khaled Sharif swapped the streets of Sydney for the deserts of Syria and Iraq to fight alongside Islamic State. Of the 80 or so suspected Australian jihadists in the region, they're the best known, and their activities have caused a great deal of concern for local Muslims. News they could be holding slaves has generated disgust among senior members of the Islamic community in Australia. Kezar Trad is a well-known community spokesman.
This is certainly very, very disturbing news, and our sympathies are with the victims. We really feel for those girls and for their loved ones.
Jumana Al-Matra, who heads the Muslim Women's Centre for Human Rights, is also appalled.
From the Islamic perspective, Islam does most certainly not allow for the enslavement of other human beings, much less the selling of them. One of the positive things about Islam is that it actually worked to eradicate the enslavement, specifically of women, which was quite common in Islam's early history.
Mohamed El Omar's postings on social media indicate he's a popular and influential figure among Australians who turn up to fight for Islamic State. Recent postings show he was in contact with Mahmoud Abdul Latif, a Melbourne man who has reportedly been killed in combat in Syria. El Omar also recently posted a photo of a Yazidi child holding a gun. The picture is captioned, "He's starting to get the idea that ISIS is a way of life." Islamic State's brutality and extreme interpretation of Islam is unparalleled. Jumana Al-Matra finds it baffling how anybody who has had the opportunities Australia provides could follow it.
It's really quite difficult to understand how two young Australian men, having grown up in this country, can actually take those views of other human beings and then label it as Islamic. I think that many community leaders and other professionals in the area are still trying to understand exactly how these young men have arrived at the situation that they're in.
After recent briefings with US security officials, the Foreign Minister Julie Bishop says she is even more troubled by the threat of foreign fighters. Many Muslims say more needs to be done to prevent young people from becoming radicalised in Australia. Last year, the government allocated $13.4 million to fund programs aimed at preventing young Australians becoming involved with extremist groups. But some Muslim leaders say the community is yet to see any of that money in action. Jumana Al-Matra warns the threat of radicalisation will grow unless it's tackled at a community level.
Unfortunately, in the last two or three years, we've moved away from community-based approaches and getting the community itself to work on issues of radicalisation. And the community's been quite open to doing that work and has done some very solid work to date. Unfortunately, the government is withdrawing resources from that area, which I think is a mistake. And it's contrary to what is happening in almost every other part of the world when it comes to radicalization, from Muslim countries that may be labeled, if you like, developing nations, to places like the US and the UK, where community approach is seen to be now the most important approach to take.
Jumana Al-Matra from the Muslim Women's Centre for Human Rights, ending Michael Edwards' report.